Hello. Thank you for tuning into the For What For Who podcast. My name is Courtney Croucher, and I'm really excited to have you here. I've always been obsessed with self-development and pop culture and everything that influences how we live our lives, which is why we're here today, because I believe that with everything you do, every decision you make, for what, for who, my intention is for this to be a resource for people who want to have better relationships, health, professional growth, balance in your lives, and self-love. Subscribe to hear my journey along with special guests every Monday for a blunt approach to living life unapologetically on your terms. Thank you for tuning in and enjoy the episode. Hello, hello, friends. Welcome back to the podcast. It is the first week of September on Thursday. Can you fucking believe it? Oh my God. The fall is in the air. I feel the season. It's happening. I'm into it. I'm not gonna lie. Pumpkin spice tickles me in places that I don't know how to describe, but it's exciting and very, very, very stoked about it. Sweaty girl summer is coming to an end. And I just wanted to make today a little life update because it's been a hot minute since I've recorded. I've since moved from Vancouver to Ontario. I went to New York. I did a lot of things and it's been quite the time. So I'd love to just give y'all a little update, share my amazing New York trip, but then trying to get back into Canada was a nightmare, and just be able to share some of the lessons I've learned on the way. It's been truly like the craziest couple of weeks of my life. So let's just get into it. So where I've left off basically with everybody is that I was leaving Vancouver. So I successfully moved out of my first apartment in Vancouver. That was my first adult apartment. And you know what? I didn't fully get emotional. And I think it's because I kept myself so busy with packing and moving and doing all the things that I didn't give myself time to really bawl my eyes out. And I mean, I did a lot of that earlier in the previous months and like earlier in the year. So I feel like that was already happening, but truly leaving, like when I got that last glance, that's when it just kind of like hit me like a knife in my chest. And yeah, I bawled my eyes out all the way to the airport. It was like one of my friends drove me and I said bye to two other friends who had helped me bring some of my stuff downstairs. And it was like when I hugged my one friend, just something erupted inside of me. And that is when the waterfalls started. And it was just very emotional. But my girlfriend who drove me to the airport did not let me stay sad for very long, which I'm glad. But now that it's been a few weeks, it's been a little bit of an eerie feeling of just not having that flight back to Vancouver. It's been very strange. So I flew home on a Tuesday night and landed in Ontario Wednesday morning. Obviously, there's a 3-hour time zone difference as well. So it was like 6 or 7, I guess it was 6 a.m. by the time I flew in. And I spent less than 48 hours in Ontario and then I was in New York. So what did I do in those 48 hours? I was pretty fucked up, just exhausted. I did not sleep very well leading up to the days that I was moving because not only was I trying to just soak up every last second in Vancouver with friends and, you know, have fun experiences, but also moving. It was just really stressful. And so it kept me up late at night. And just knowing I was entering a new chapter with a lot of unanswered questions and, you know, pending things that really kept me playing the what ifs game and the mental spiral, which obviously is never fun. And I wish I had been able to relax my mind a little bit more so I could enjoy that time, but I'm an anxious human being and I'm really working on it. But the 48 hours I got to Ontario, honestly, the first day I just slept. I was exhausted because I had flown in 6 a.m. that morning without any sleep. And I just felt all sorts of fucked up by the time zone. I know it's only 3 hours, but it's just enough to mess you up. And just having all this luggage with me, I was just all messed up. And then being stressed about New York and knowing that I was traveling with a carry-on to New York was very stressful because I'm a girl who likes to check her bag. Even for like a 4-day trip, I don't care. I want to check a bag. I don't want to have to deal with liquid stuff. I want extra room to be able to shop. Like, that is how I live my life. But with all of the airport and airline delays, I just couldn't risk it, especially for the 4-day trip that I was supposed to go on in New York. Now, this 4-day trip turned into 6. So
just keep listening, okay? So I didn't have everything packed for New York in my carry-on to the airport from Vancouver because I knew that I needed like certain things in certain places in terms of just the liquids and all of that. So I had a bit of a mess trying to pack up going to New York. And so I went to a couple different cities. I like saw family, saw my dad, saw a sneaky link. And then the next morning we drove to Pearson Airport. I ended up parking the car at the garage and like paying for parking instead of getting someone to drop us off that early. We had to leave at like 6 a.m. and our flight was delayed, I want to say by like 30 minutes. It wasn't bad, but the airport lineups were freaking insane. We're so glad that we got there 3 hours early because I'm pretty sure we were waiting in line for about 2.5 hours for everything. It was kind of nuts. Like, we only had about 30 minutes to kill before boarding the plane, and we got there 3 hours early. So super crazy. Has not died down. That was at Pearson in Toronto, so if you're going, just know that. I feel like if you fly domestic, it's a little bit different, but flying to the US or international is kind of a shit show with the lineups. So that was a little bit insane. And then I was literally dead exhausted, felt like a walking zombie, shell of a human being getting into New York. I passed out on the plane. It's literally an hour flight. I don't even remember taking off from Toronto to New York. I just fell directly asleep so quickly. And then we got to New York, got to the hotel, we stayed in Times Square, and we had a really amazing time. I went with my sister, and we originally booked the trip to go see Harry Styles. He had a 15-day residency at Madison Square Garden, and we ended up getting two tickets for face value, which was, like, insane. Is it face value? Either way, we didn't pay much. So to get them, it just felt like I won a golden ticket at the Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory, so obviously we had to go. So we made an entire weekend in New York, trip around it. And so the first night was like the Friday morning we landed. We eventually got early check-in in the early afternoon, which was great, to our hotel. But I was so exhausted. I was truly a shell of a human. I ended up having a nap for a few hours. We did a rooftop patio, like late lunch, early dinner. And then my sister's exhaustion hit. She hadn't had a nap. And then we actually ended up parting ways that evening. We walked by one of her Broadway musical interests that she had. She's a huge Broadway fan and musical theater student. So she went to a Broadway show and I took myself to the Museum of Sex, which was the best experience ever. If you are new to this podcast or don't know me, I studied media and women's studies in school, and I did a huge focus on sexuality studies. This podcast actually was previously called Strategic Slut because I wanted a love, sex, and dating podcast at one point just to be able to like spread the, you know, intersectional feminist word on some of these really just modern day topics. But I ended up pivoting. That's why we have For What For Who now, but I'm still so passionate about those topics. And so when I saw on maps that there was a Museum of Sex not that far from me, I was like, what is this? So when my sister decided to go to a Broadway show spontaneously, I was like, fuck it, I'm going to the Museum of Sex. And even when you buy a ticket to the museum, they have the option to add edibles to heighten your experience in the cart, which was very easy thinking on my part because I was like, absolutely yes. So had those, and that was a really interesting experience in just the whole night of it all. So when you walk in, it's like a sex shop, and there's vibrators and dildos and all kinds of stuff, but it's very classy. It's really pretty. These like glass displays. It's really nice in there. It definitely makes you want to shop around. And then you go to this little ticket guy and he scans your ticket and handed the edibles. And then you walk in and this museum, pretty like, you know, normal museum, really cool, different, you know, the first thing you see is like Hugh Hefner's classic like red Playboy robe. You see all these different gadgets that were used in like the 1950s and 60s or whatever for sexual pleasure or to treat, you know, women's hysteria, like all of these really vintage items. Was it's really cool to see, and they have little blurbs about the history on them, which was all good reminders from what I learned, a lot of what I learned in school, but some of those things were obviously new things I didn't know before as well. And they also shared a lot of the history of the, you know, pornography and just amped up sex sells in media. So there was one of my favorite parts actually was this kind of, I don't even know how to explain it. It was like this booth system where on the very left, you have like the 1950s and 60s, and then it goes up by each decade as you move to the right of the booth. And they're individual little, like almost like a phone booth, but you have the screen and it's actually sharing what was provocative in that decade and certain like key pieces of media, movies, music videos, songs that came out, performances, all of these things. And it takes you all the way to 2020, which they finish off with like Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion's WAP. So it was really cool to watch that. You just kind of pop into each booth until it's over, obviously. And they're only like 2 to 3 minutes each. So there's not very long. And the time, like the attention span, I was able to keep up very quickly because it was just moved quick. So really, really loved that. That was actually my favorite part of the museum. But as you continue, you end up going through this tunnel, and I put it on my Instagram story. It's a trip and a half, and I'm pretty sure that's the exact moment the edibles hit in. And I was like tripping, to be honest. I was quite high, and I haven't been smoking much lately just because I've been traveling. You can't take weed to the US. It's obviously legal in Canada and legal in certain states, but not federally legal in the US. So obviously can't take it with me. And when I was in Ontario, like I was here for 48 hours, so I was with family, so I wasn't going to do that. I could have used my vape, but I just didn't. Okay. So it'd been a couple days. So this was kind of fun to just escape my anxiety and mind for a minute and just get really immersed in the situation. But you go through this like crazy tunnel and you're actually taken to this like Funland thing where it's this little carnival with like games and all of these interactive things that are sex related. For example, there was a bouncy castle and it's like bouncing on the tits and they're literally like little titties. It's very funny. I didn't go on it because I was by myself and I was just kind of laughing at the people who were bouncing on it. There was this one where it was like you had to shoot the water at the little hole thing and it made your character move and it was all sex related. I can't really remember exactly what it was, but there was all this language of like who can come the quickest. Very funny, very just like could have been great for like a date or something to do with your best friend. I did it solo, which I think is a bad bitch move. I think if you want to do something, don't wait around for people to do it. Like not, I don't think anyone in my life really would be interested in going to the Museum of Sex except for my friend Taylor. And she'd be like the only one I feel down. I feel like everyone else wouldn't get super intrigued by it. Maybe they would do it for the shits, but like the academic side of things, I feel like maybe not. So I obviously enjoy both. So I just thrived going through that. It was very on brand. And then I went home, I Ubered back to the hotel and passed the fuck out because I was done. And then the next day we spent in Central Park, we went to the Met, we had the best day, and then we went to Phantom of the Opera, Broadway musical, which was absolutely incredible. That was my first Broadway show, and it was so great because I loved Phantom of the Opera as a kid, and I don't know why, I just like always watched the movie and I would like listen to the soundtrack or something. I don't even remember how, but I had some sort of fascination with it, but I didn't understand it as young as I was. And so I knew that I would enjoy it, but I kind of like forgot the details of the storyline. And so seeing it on Broadway, it's like one of the longest shows ever run. So you knew it had to be good. So it was very fun. And obviously just being able to do that with my sister was very special. And then Sunday, we end up parting ways. I made my way over to the Carrie Bradshaw's apartment, and I went to also the Friends apartment, and then I went to the 9/11 memorial, which was very important for me to pass by. I didn't make it to the museum because I didn't have time, but next time I'm in New York, I definitely want to do that because it's just a topic that I find fascinating, obviously devastating, but it's just one of those key pieces in history that I find fascinating to learn about. And then I ended up meeting my sister at Grand Central, and we got back to the hotel fairly early because we had to get ready for Harry Styles. That was the night of the concert. It was fucking incredible. My sister and I dressed very, you know, on brand for Harry Styles. It's very funny because you knew exactly who was going to the concert, seeing the girls, you know, walk through the streets of New York. Like, truly, I don't know what Harry Styles did to influence us all to dress a certain type of way, but it was very themed in the best way possible. It was so fun, so colorful, so many of those heart-shaped glasses that I actually had on as well, which I thought I was being like, oh my god, this is so cute. What a little fun thing to add to my outfit. Meanwhile, it was like literally every single girl had it, so I was not special. It was actually pretty basic, but that's okay. I personally wore these like pink, kind of like slightly low cut, like they kind of angled in the middle, made my ass look amazing. They were pink velour wide leg pants with like kind of an animal print to them in pink. And I'll post on my Instagram. I haven't posted it yet. And then I had this cropped black tank top that had a small cutout in the back. And it said Howdy in like those 2000s bejeweled silver little diamonds. And it was just iconic. I got the outfit from Urban Outfitters. I freaking loved it. And it was also super comfy. And then I just wore that with black heeled booties and then the glasses. And just wore some lashes and some pink lipstick, and I was on my way. It was very, very fun. We had the best time. I sobbed during Matilda, and he did a lot of encores that weren't expected, which was really great to hear. He played Kiwi as the last song, which just really did something to my soul. And then getting out of Madison Square Garden was a bit of a shit show. It was definitely like a health and safety like violation, just in terms of the fact that there's construction outside the building. And so even when you get outside, you are in this like very, very claustrophobic tunnel. And truly, I was like, if there's a fire or any kind of emergency, like we're screwed. So didn't love that. But the venue was kind of cool for Harry Styles' stage because it's 365. So the venue was really cool to see a concert at. It just did seem to be a bit of a shit show trying to enter until the leave, but that's okay. We had the best time, but we were exhausted after, and my sister's only 20, so we weren't able to like go out and go to bars and stuff, which I feel like I would have been down to do if she had been legal, but I wasn't gonna do that by myself. I'm not still not really drinking at all, so I had one glass of rosé when I got to New York because I just felt like I needed the vibes on the rooftop patio. And then once I had it, I was like, that was kind of boring, and it didn't make me feel that great. And I was like, why am I doing this? So me and alcohol just, we don't vibe. I feel like I'm just going to reserve it for very special occasions, but I just really want to like be known as that person who doesn't drink much, because it just doesn't serve me well in my life. And so we didn't end up going out. We just went back to the hotel. We were exhausted after trying to get out of there. It took like another hour and it was getting late. We had a whole day of walking and exploring. So we ended up just calling a night early, and then we were supposed to go to the airport the next day. Now, the next day we got to the airport and we got there like 4 hours early because we had to check out of our hotel. And by the time we just like checked out of our hotel, grabbed some lunch and like leisurely made our way to the airport, we're still early. And I also wanted to be like 2 to 3 hours early because of just travel right now. So we get there, we literally breeze through all the security and stuff within like 5 minutes. It was the quickest thing ever. We flew out of LaGuardia and we get there, we're like, fuck, now we have 4 hours to kill, but it was fine. I felt really like peaceful that we were there early. And then our flight gets delayed by like hours. Then it gets canceled. So I somehow just sensed that our flight was getting canceled. I was like looking at the app and saw that the aircraft we were supposed to take hadn't even left Toronto yet. And I was like, I think this is going to get canceled, to my sister. She's like, no, it's just delayed. And literally within seconds, I get a text from the airline saying like flight's canceled. And so I was first in line to the desk agent thing, through the airline to chat with them about where they could reschedule us. And lo and behold, I got the last two seats on the plane for the next flight later that evening for me and my sister. So I was like, fuck yes, we're still getting home tonight. Thank God. It's all good. Then that flight gets delayed by hours and ends up being canceled as well. And we literally were in the airport for over 9 hours. When we went up to the agent to see what's happening, they literally couldn't get us home until Wednesday morning, which meant we were going to have to book a hotel for 2 more nights. And I like was pretty pissed off because I'm like, oh my God, like this is 2 flights canceled in less than a day for an hour flight. And they were so rude about it, super unprofessional about how they handled things. And the woman was like, because I was like, how are we expected to pay for all of this? Like, there's no hotel rooms. There was literally nothing near the hotel because there were other flights canceled by other airlines. And so I was like, what are we supposed to do? Like, are we paying for out of pocket for this? Like, there's no compensation. And yeah, she was just extremely rude and eventually had to like literally take another like $60 Uber back to the city, get a hotel for 2 nights. It was just a lot, very stressful because I was like, please God, get me home Wednesday morning. So we ended up, you know, spending 2 nights there. We didn't even get to the hotel that night until like midnight. So it sucked to have to pay an entire night for a hotel when we didn't really get to enjoy it, but whatever, it's life. And what was really strange about that whole interaction was that my Uber driver got pulled over by the cops like during our Uber drive, and we weren't even at the hotel, and he just like got out and got our bags out without like a word. And then I realized we're not even at our hotel. It was a very weird situation. It just was like, I felt like I was in like a literal horror movie for a second, just like with all the weird things that were happening. It just didn't feel great. And I was at a point where I was really ready to just kind of like get back to Ontario. So to have to stay was a little bit frustrating, but it's okay. We enjoyed the next day in Brooklyn. We never got to explore the Brooklyn Bridge or Brooklyn, so that's what we did. We had the best time. Then Wednesday afternoon was our, or I guess Wednesday morning technically was supposed to be our flight. That got delayed by like, I want to say another 2 hours as well. But we eventually did land in Toronto, and we get to Toronto. We find the car in the parking. I knew I was going to have to pay extra because the car had been there for like 48 hours, more than anticipated. And I get there and my car battery is dead. One of us left the lights on and it literally drained the battery. So I had to get a tow truck to boost the car, which was just more money too, which was like, oh my God, this like trip is costing me way more than anticipated. So that was fun. And then what was so stressful was that we had a concert in Toronto that evening to go see Kalani. And obviously, original plan was for us to be back by Monday night, stay with my dad, and then go back to Toronto Wednesday for the day, you know, enjoy the day in Toronto, and then go to Kalani in the evening. And that's just not the reality. We didn't even, like, get out of Toronto. I want to say 2 or 3 p.m. in the afternoon. And then we drove all the way to my dad's. He put a new battery in my car. And then I literally went back to Toronto and made it just in the nick of time to see Kalani, which was just amazing. I'm so glad we made it. Literally, that woman is the reason I realized that I was bisexual. Like, she's so fucking hot, so talented. I guess it's like one of the biggest tour dates she's doing on this tour besides her hometown, which was just sick. I really have loved Kalani since like her first album, so it was very amazing to hear all of those like OG songs live. And she hasn't toured, I think, since like 2017, 2018. So it's been a minute and it was just incredible. So did that. Then the next couple days after that, I got sick. I was so just like exhausted and also had a head cold. And I'm still recovering. If you can hear it in my voice, hi, can't do much about it. It's been very annoying. And just trying to like recover and realize like, holy fuck, I moved across the country. I went to New York. I experienced all these things, had all this like traumatizing experiences, and now I'm back and I like don't have my own place yet. I haven't like fully like gotten settled in Ontario. So it's been weird to say the least. I think the biggest thing that like this whole New York trip has taught me is just to be able to roll with the punches more and to be able to try to have a laugh in the moment because, like, you just can't control some things, and you can either make the situation a little bit easier on yourself and just trying to laugh, or you can be really anxious and crippled and, like, be miserable, you know? I definitely wasn't taking care of myself enough in the last, like, week, just having moved and then traveling. I needed a lot more meditation, a lot more movement, and I didn't get to get that in. So I think definitely knowing myself and knowing what I need to prioritize moving forward is a good lesson, because I think I would have been able to handle the travel issues in just maybe a more calm manner than I did if I were to have just meditated and, like, took care of myself a little bit more. So that's okay. And I would also just say, you know, second lesson is to never leave any lights on when you have your car parked. And I would also say lesson number three is to just release the expectations and the outcomes. I've talked about this in another podcast, but I loved New York, but I didn't want to move to New York. And I think I've always had this, like, idea that I would go to New York and it would be this, like, magical experience. But actually, LA was that for me. Like, when I went to LA, oh my God, like, something lit my soul on fire, where I did really enjoy New York. Like, I really loved it, but I definitely wouldn't live there. And they also just don't cater enough to my granola cruncher needs. Like, to eat gluten-free and dairy-free in that city was kind of tough, I'm not gonna lie. Just, it's a lot of, like, fast food. Like, people in New York, it's like the hustle and bustle, you know? You grab a bagel or a sandwich just on your way to wherever you're going, like burgers, pizza. It was just a lot of stuff I couldn't eat. So that was the one thing I, like, did struggle with New York. And just, like, the weird energy of, like, no one gives a fuck, which, and there's such a pro there of just, like, literally no one cares. But the con is that, like, people will walk directly into you and not say sorry. I'm definitely not used to that energy. I feel like every big city has a little bit more of that. But New York is definitely on the, like, most unfriendly spectrum that I've ever seen. Where, like, LA, I just found everyone so nice and I just had the best experience. Now, I'm comparing two cities that are on two different coasts. Like, I get that. But I'm just kind of always caught in between this question of, like, am I an East Coast or more of a West Coast girl? And I can't fully decide because there's pros and cons to each. And but the issue is my family lives on the East Coast and I'm really close with my family. So it's always this weird thing. But honestly, if I were to ever move back to the West Coast, I think I'd move to California and not Vancouver, because I love Vancouver, but it rains too fucking much. I think I would just need to pull the plug and go to California, which I have dual citizenship, so I could actually do that. But yeah, that's kind of where I fell with, like, the experience overall. But it was really incredible, and I, like, I'm trying to really make sure that that crazy flying and car experience and all of that doesn't diminish how much fun we had the days leading up to trying to leave New York. But just that feeling of feeling, like, stranded and helpless was a little odd, and it just, yeah, it was weird because I really was, like, not down to spend another day in New York, which we did, like, make the most of it, which I'm really proud of us for doing. But I was just in such a weird headspace that I was really just, like, wanting to get out. But it's okay. And it makes for a good story because I definitely can't say I've ever been in an airport for 9 hours. And LaGuardia doesn't even have a fucking Starbucks. Can you believe that? You want to see my fight or flight activated? Take away a Starbucks closest to me. Like, it's truly just not okay. So that was weird. Definitely don't recommend. And if you're flying, maybe avoid Air Canada because they're pretty terrible. Now I'm trying to kind of look at what this next chapter looks like for me. Now I'm getting serious about taking on a new career. I feel like I've mentioned this in the podcast before, but I was technically, like, self-employed / independent contractor. I had this specific company that I was working full-time with, and I decided to quit at the start of July because of numerous reasons, and I just hit a breaking point where I need some time off. So I took the summer off and it was like really incredible for my mental health. I'm really glad that I took that time. But now it's time for me to kind of start working again, and I'm starting to feel ready to do that and getting that hunger to like make money again as well. Of course, savings is not unlimited. So just getting back to that networking life has been really interesting. I've learned so much just being like on LinkedIn more and conversing more with other people in different industries. So definitely looking to switch industries and really excited by the opportunities that have come my way and interviews. It's been really like learning just a lot about not only other industries, but like myself in this whole process, which has been really cool. I really feel like it can be tough to move on from one chapter when you don't feel like your second chapter has truly started. But I think noticing how you lean into the experience each time when massive change occurs is really where it's important. And I am so excited for everything that's like coming my way. And I feel like even just in a month, like things are going to be a little bit more settled in my life in Ontario, which I look forward to because it can be a little bit tough to be in limbo of just not having my own place yet. And, you know, my parents split up, so my mom and dad live separately now. So that's been a little bit strange coming back to Ontario with. Definitely just want them happy and I'm doing okay with it. It's more of just weird because when I moved from Vancouver, or when I moved to Vancouver, sorry, they were living together in Ontario. So I just relate home very differently now, which is okay, but something to definitely get my head wrapped around. And I also just like don't have a lot of friends anymore here. It's definitely different dynamics. So to kind of have to keep in touch with my friends in Vancouver and try to like make new friends, but not quite have my life set up here yet. It's just been weird, but it's always good to shake up the routine. I feel like I'm starting to cut out some bad habits. I feel like I'm really starting to level up in just my mindset and being the person I want to be, which is a really cool feeling. I'm trying to really prioritize gratitude in my life right now because I feel like depression and anxiety can't exist when you're prioritizing gratitude each day, maybe multiple times a day, sitting down and literally just thinking about everything you're grateful for. Even just the smallest things, it brings you back to fucking earth, you know, when you get down that spiral. Like I have just been in such a bad mental health place and so filled with so much anxiety in the last few months that starting to feel this slight bit of clarity and slight bit of able to breathe has been really great. Now, this new chapter has brought on new fears, of course, because I'm like here now and I'm like, holy fuck. Like I don't have a sense of routine, which makes me feel out of control. But when I did that, I actually got out a journal, started writing, and then I actually physically wrote out what I have control over and what I don't. And that was an exercise that I'm so proud I did within that like hour of spiraling because I feel like that bounce back was quicker than I've had before. And I think just continuing to utilize your toolbox and make those choices that are going to benefit you in not only the short term, but also the long term each time challenges are brought to us is really important. And I think especially the internal mental challenge can be so tough, but I think I'm really starting to get there. And even just being ashamed to stay with family, I really struggle with like asking for help or having to lean on someone, which is something I'm trying to work on. And of course, I have an amazing family. Don't like get me wrong. I'm just hyper independent and it's something I'm trying to work through. But I even had this moment the other day where me and my dad were just like listening to records and he has an amazing record collection. And so we're just laying on the couch, like listening to records, chatting. And I was thinking about how he had to work at night. He works night shifts at the hospital. So I was thinking about how if he had to work, like, I wouldn't be there this morning if I lived on my own. Like, if I was living in Toronto, I would not be spending a couple hours before he goes to work together to just hang out, listen to music, you know. And the fact that we were able to just do that and just, like, have this time together was really healing and really amazing. I'm just trying to really, like, soak it up for what it is because it's times like this that we take for granted, and then we look back and wish we had enjoyed it a little bit more, you know, especially when we miss someone or, you know, heaven forbid, like, you know, something keeps us apart. It's just one of those things of having those memories is just like, it literally becomes a core memory with just days like that. And so that meant a lot to me, and it was definitely something I needed, and just trying to recover from being a little sick has been great to just have some time and really just kind of look at what I want now. It's been kind of cool because I feel like I couldn't get in the headspace of being in Ontario when I was in Vancouver because I was so stressed about just leaving Vancouver. So to now be here and make shit happen, it's definitely brought on this like new energy for me. I also find that Virgo season is a season that like is, you know, getting organized and really staying on top of your shit. And so I always thrive quite well in September, October, and really like cranking out that last quarter. So I'm really excited to like utilize this new energy to build this next chapter and to maximize this last quarter of the year and really just be able to bury like the old self that I've been so attached to and just fucking do the things, you know, like go after the goals that I've been envisioning and just really like challenge myself again, I think is like what I need now. Cause I think there's times when you need to just live a little bit of a softer life and take some time off. But I feel like now for me, what self-love would be like is actually implementing a little bit more discipline in my life. I need some time off of that for sure. But now I'm like really excited to get back into that. And it doesn't mean that you have to grind, grind, grind and never take care of yourself. But I think having this like discipline with boundaries is super important and can be a really beautiful version of self-love and form of self-care. So that's what I'm really prioritizing right now. And I think I'm going to start the 75-day hard challenge on September 1st. It was created by Andy Frisella, I believe. And it's a series of different things that you have to do every single day. And it's specifically like a mental challenge. So I really kind of want to do this just to kind of, I don't know, like get me back into feeling really good and just feeling like I'm a bad bitch, I guess is how I want to feel right now. And so there's a couple things that you have to do the 75 hard challenge. Number one, follow a diet, no cheats, no alcohol. They are pretty broad with this. So I feel like I would just ensure that I stick to not eating like dairy and gluten because I feel like that's been inflammatory, specifically the dairy part. I've been eating a little bit more feta than I normally do. And even though it digests differently, I just know it doesn't love me. So I need to kind of maybe cut that out. But for the most part, I eat fairly clean. I would say just maybe limiting some late night snacking that I've had to kind of curb the habit of. The second one is 2 45-minute workouts a day, and one has to be outside. I think this will be easy for me because I do a 45-minute walk to an hour every single day outside anyway. So I feel like just making sure I'm consistent for 75 days would be the tough part just with the weather, but you have to navigate that. So I'm excited for that little mental toughness challenge. Number three is drinking a gallon of water every single day. Stay hydrated, bitches. Number four is read 10 pages of a nonfiction book. So like personal development, no audiobooks. And number five is take a progress photo. So get your camera out and take a photo every single day. And I'm really excited. I think it's just like a really good way to get back in like a routine in some format and also just challenge myself. I feel like when I'm mentally and physically stimulated and like feeling in control, I feel like it helps me navigate large change. So I'm really looking forward to that. That starts Thursday for me. If you want to do it with me, let me know. Send me a DM and we can keep each other accountable. I would love that. I can also share my story with that if you guys are interested in hearing about it. But this has been the life update. I guess, side note, another thing that happened, I added another man to the graveyard. I'm going to talk about it next week. But just more fuel to like really focus on myself, which is always good. And yeah, just fucking bury all the bullshit from my old life and light it on fire and try to, you know, create a new path is really the focus right now. So that's me. I hope you guys enjoyed this. I know it's pretty rambly. This is just like me and my life and my updates. We'll be back to regularly scheduled topics next week. And yeah, I always appreciate your love and support and listening. So thank you guys so much. As always, you can find me at the Not So Average Bitch and at For What For Who podcast. And I hope you guys love yourself, love others, and wash your fucking hands. I'll talk to you next Monday. Bye, guys.